Shri Bhavata Vrindaki Jai Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinda Shama Pandurada Kuta Giri Govardhani Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Jai Navadav Dham Jai Gaungi Jumana Tulsi Bhakti Vrindaki Jai Anana Gauri Vaishnava Vrindaki Jai Samabhata Bhakti Vrindaki Jai Loka Vinandi All Glories to Samana Bodhi 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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Shri Krishna Chaitanya
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Rama,
Hare Hare. Hare
Vishnu Bhagavan,
Gana
Purcha,
21,
verse
51,
Adya, Nasa, Tamasa, Aras,
Paya,
Upasatta,
Prabhu,
Ramyatam,
Nashta,
Nasa,
and Vistinam,
Vistinam,
Daiva, Sangitai, Avyana Stamasaparas,
Avyana Stamasaparas,
Vayoba Sadita Prabho,
Vayoba Sadita Prabho,
Ramyatam Nashta Dristina,
Ramyatam Nashta Dristina,
Karma Vir Daiva, Sangitai,
Karma Vir Daiva, Sangitai, Avyana Stamasaparas,
we have lost our goal of life.
We have lost the goal of life.
Karma be,
karma be,
on account of past deeds.
On account of past deeds.
Daiva Sangitai.
Daiva Sangitai.
Arranged by superior authority.
Arranged by superior authority.
Translation says, and continue today, you have opened our eyes and revealed how to cross to the other side of the ocean of darkness. By our past deeds and by the arrangement of superior authority, we have entangled in the network of fruitive activities and have lost sight of the destination of life. Thus we have been wandering within the universe. Wherefore in this verse the words karma vi daiva sangita are very significant. Due to the quality of our actions, we come to the association of modes of material nature, and by superior arrangement we are given a chance to enjoy the fruitive results of such activities in different types of bodies. In this way, having lost sight of their destination in life, living energies are wandering in different species throughout the universe, sometimes getting birth in a lower species, sometimes existing in higher planetary systems. Thus we are all wandering. Since time immemorial, it is by the grace of spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we get the clue of devotional life. And thus, progressive success in our life begins. Here, this is admitted by the citizens of King Prithu. In full consciousness, they admit the benefit they have derived from the activities of Maharaj Prithu. Dear Lord, you are situated in your pure existential position of goodness. Therefore, you are the perfect representative of the Supreme Lord. You are glorified by your own prowess, and you are maintaining the entire world by producing your mental pulse and protecting every one of your line of beauty as a Kshatriya. Therefore, without the spread of rabbinical culture and without proper protection from the government, no social standard can be maintained properly. This is admitted in this verse by the citizens of Maharaj Prithu, who can maintain the wonderful situation of his government due to his position in pure goodness. The word Vivrida Sattvaya is significant. In the material world, there are three qualities, namely goodness, passion, ignorance. One has to be raised from the platform of ignorance to the platform of goodness by devotional service. There's no other means for elevating one from the lower stages like to the higher stage but the execution of devotional service. As advised in the previous chapters, Srimad Bhagavatam, one can raise himself from the lowest position to the highest simply by associating with devotees and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly from their mouths. Sindhupatam sukata krishna punya sravana kirtana kajantastokyavadra nivijunoti sukhritsitam. When one engages in devotional service, in the first stage, the hearing and chanting of the Lord who is in everyone's heart helps the devotee in cleansing his heart. In the gradual cleansing process, one is relieved of the influence of passion, ignorance, and is situated in the platform of goodness. The result of association with the qualities of passion, ignorance, so that one becomes lusty and greedy. But when one is elevated to the platform of goodness and satisfied in any condition of life without lust and greed, this mentality indicates one's situation in the platform of goodness. One has to transcend this goodness and raise himself to pure goodness called Vibhrita Sattva or advanced stage of goodness. In the advanced stage of goodness, one can become Krishna conscious. Therefore, Maharaj Prithu is addressed here as Vibhrita Sattva or one who is situated in the transcendental position. But Prithu Maharaj, although situated in the transcendental position of a pure devotee, came down to the position of a Brahman and Kshatriya for the benefit of human society and thus gave protection to the entire world by his personal prowess. Although he was a king, a Kshatriya, because he was a Vaishnava, he was also a Brahman. As a Brahman, he could give proper instruction to the citizens of the Kshatriya, he could rightly give protection to all of them. Thus the citizens of Maharaj Prithu were protected in all respects by the perfect king. That's in the purpose of the 21st chapter. Srimad Bhagavatam held instructions of Maharaj Prithu. As citizens continued, you have opened our eyes and revealed how to cross the other side of the ocean of darkness by our past deeds and by the arrangement of superior authority. We are entangled in a network of fruitive activities and lost sight of the destination of life. Thus we are wandering within the universe. You are situated in your pure existential position of goodness. Therefore, you are the perfect representative of the Supreme Lord. You're glorified by your prowess, and thus you are maintaining the entire world by introducing your mental culture and protecting everyone in your mind and your DSA Kshatriya. So this is a citizen speaking in praise of Prithu. Here they're mainly praising his ability to institute the Varnashram system and raise people in the gunas. But they also reveal here that you've actually opened our eyes and taken us beyond the darkness of the material world where we are wandering around taking different bodies due to karma in a very blind condition. So they indicate that actually you're delivering him from the material world. So this of course is part of the Varnashram system. We have Artha, Dharma, Kama and Moksha as parts of the system. Most people are concerned with Artha, Dharma, and Kama. And those who are concerned with Moksha are mainly those who are brahminical and subhuguna, so they have a sense of detachment. So to get that Moksha, then there is the process of Jnana. But of course we know Lord Chaitanya has said that actually the goal of life is not Moksha, but it's prema. So therefore, all of these processes, the Varnashram system and jnana, are insufficient to achieve the goal. One also needs bhakti. And bhakti is beyond that. So, the system is there as a preliminary. But we should not think that it is a cause of bhakti, because bhakti is transcendental and cannot be caused by gunas, whether it is sattva guna or tama guna. That cannot be a cause of bhakti. So therefore bhakti actually is a completely separate process, though it is linked to these other processes. It is different. So it's not caused by them, nor are these things necessary. However, sattva is more favorable than the other gunas because there's less material attachment. So it says in Srimad Bhagavatam that bhakti is, one can start bhakti if one is not too materially attached and is not too detached also. So if one is not too inclined towards jnana and also is not too inclined towards karma, then he can practice bhakti. So if one is in sattva, one has less material attachments. That's a good qualification for bhakti. But it's not a cause of bhakti. So we have to make that distinction. So therefore, bhakti is not dependent upon karma or jnana or yoga. It is actually independent. But certain elements of those processes can be very favorable to the practice of bhakti. So those can be followed as favorable elements. Ultimately, of course, if one goes to the spiritual world, all of those things must be given up because they're material. So only the bhakti process goes to the spiritual world. So in this way we should see the relative importance of these different processes and understand that bhakti is actually the supreme process and independent of any other process. So the system of karma and jnana will ultimately yield liberation, which is speak up here in this verse, how to get free from the bondage of karma. But as I said, Lord Chaitanya says that no, the goal is prema. So this in itself, karma and jnana do not give prema. So that is why Lord Chaitanya rejected these other processes. There's no other process, he says, no other process, not karma, jnana, or yoga. Only the process of chanting the name in devotional service. So it is in a very special position. So only these methods may be favorable for the execution of bhakti, and therefore to a certain degree they may be practiced. So the citizens here recognize Kritu Maharaj as being beyond sattva. Sattva also is material. So they say that you are beyond sattva guna, the material world, in a special category. And therefore you're qualified to represent the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord is beyond the gunas. Kritu is beyond the gunas. So this we call Visuddha Sattva or Suddha Sattva, or in this case Vivrida Sattva. So the Pritu is beyond the goodness, but he is playing the part of a king. Kings are usually a mixture of Rajaguna and Sattvaguna. But we should not think that Pritu Maharaj therefore falls into the gunas. We see the Supreme Lord plays the role of a king in Dwarka, or as Ramchandra plays the role of a king. But he's not in the gunas, he's not in the passion, mortal passion at all. He is beyond the modes completely. So he's beyond goodness also. But he plays the role of a king and functions like a king in a very ideal way. So this is what Prithu does. He functions as a king, he rules over according to the laws of Dharma. And at the same time, he is not touched by the gunas of material nature. He is beyond the gunas. So he's an ideal king because actually he can use the principles of Dharma and at the same time not be negatively affected by any of those elements. So, for instance, the king has a mode of passion by which he rules and controls. But then the negative side of that is that he can actually develop too much control, a desire, attachment to control. And in this way he becomes a dictator. If one is transcendental to the modes of nature, then this won't happen. He will simply execute the duties without attachment and exert control according to the laws of Dharma. So in this way, Prithu can act as an ideal king without attachment to the material results. So even one is in sattva-guna, as a Brahmin, this is also a cause of bondage in the material world. One becomes attached to the happiness of sattva-guna. So it is described in the third canto that what Kapila explains, that by nishkama karma, you can become very detached and execute all dharma, etc., and you can go to Brahmaloka. But you have to take birth again in the material world. So you don't get liberation by that. The sattva guna will put you up into the higher planetary systems. The alternative is you can practice jnana. And by that process, finally, you can get liberation from the material world. If you also do a little bhakti. The end result is you get free from your karmas and you get liberation, but you do not get prema. So that is the limitation of the brahmana. Ultimately, if he goes for jnana, then he gets liberation, but he does not get Supreme Lord and prema. So that is why the Bhagavatam emphasizes the superiority of bhakti over everything else. In the first canto itself, Suta Goswami also mentions that jnana and karma actually don't have a significance except for bhakti. If there's no bhakti there, they have no meaning and they achieve no results. They all depend upon the mercy of the Supreme Lord. At the same time, if we practice bhakti, that gives all the results. So that is why the process of bhakti is recommended over all the other processes. So here the citizens glorify Prithu because he's in actually a transcendental position, because he's actually a Shaktivaishavatar of the Lord. But he acts as a Kshatriya to institute the laws of Dharma for the common people. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that yes, one should go through the gradual process and karma, whatever, go through that process, gradually be fixed in different gunas and come to sattva guna and then become qualified for bhakti. So that is the gradual process. Most people should follow that. But he says actually in our age, Lord Chaitanya has made an exception. And by his mercy, we can directly take the process of bhakti. So this is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we can take bhakti without having to go through the gradual process of varna, ashrama, etc. No, jnana and vairagya automatically result from the worship of the Supreme Lord, not that they're necessary. Jnana and vairagya are necessary for liberation. So those who practice jnana, they get the jnana and the vairagya, and they get liberation. If one performs bhakti, automatically jnana and vairagya manifest, so automatically one gets liberated without having to strive for that. So in other words, material bondage is destroyed by the process of bhakti. But that's not the goal of the devotee, but it happens. So that is the meaning of that verse. Automatically, jnana and vairagya manifest. So whatever is accomplished by jnana is automatically accomplished by bhakti.
is that all other activities have to be given up to go to the spiritual world. So then ideally one should only practice only what is actually as per the which means one need not do any other activity except what activities are which are considered part of the spiritual service.
Yeah. But of course, because we have a material body, we're living in a material world. We have to do activities related to the body. You have to eat and breathe, and you can say, "I'm not going to breathe anymore. I'm not going to drink any water." Okay, that's not devotional service. But we have to support the body, etc. So we have to, and we live in a material world, in a society, etc. So we have some compromise as long as we have a material body. So for the body, then generally we follow the rules of varnashram. Certain rules are there for maintaining the body, cleanliness, and interaction of people. So we generally follow that, but they're not absolute rules. They're generally followed.
What is the vehicle for everything that we are active? What is the vehicle for everything that we are active? That body we cannot achieve that we are active. Without body we cannot achieve that.
Yeah, in our condition, no, we cannot advance without this material body. So we have to take care of the material body.
There's some special exceptions like Adidas, like Romana. They will forgot their body in Greece.
Yeah, still they did some. They're still breathing and drinking if it was less. Of course, Dhruva was very austere. But still, they maintain the body to some degree.
Why do you use a Varnashram system based on one's qualities and one's activities of it? But in Varnashram system, one has to be qualified for a certain set of activities before that. But which means that devotee can actually work at any platform because he's doing all the things. Like Maharaj Prithu, although he is transcendental, but like a Kshatriya, because of a certain function.
Devotees also. Now, of course, it depends on the devotee. Technically, yes, we are beyond the gunas. But then we also, as far as our bhakti is concerned, that's beyond the gunas. Many devotees, however, are going through the process of anarjana vritti. So therefore, they still have tendencies inherited by their karmas or influenced by karma, etc. And therefore, we cannot say they can do anything. They may be more talented to do one thing than another, so they cannot carry out all the functions properly. So they work according to the capacity. They do activities according to the capacity. At the same time, we should not label them in terms of varnas or whatever, because as far as their devotional service is concerned, they're beyond the varnas. But still, in terms of material body, etc. They may work according to their capacity, that's all.
The Vaishnavas are beyond the three modes and the three modes. So they can do any activity with Brahmana, Kshatriya.
No, I just said, I answered that. They still have a material body. So, technically, yes, because Bhagavatam says that one who chants the name once, who's a Chandala or something, that automatically is qualified for the Soma Yajna. So yes, in one sense, it may happen like that if one chants purely. In most cases, we find people still are influenced by their material bodies, and therefore they may not be capable of certain things. For instance, the Chandala who chants the holy name once, yes, is qualified for the Yajna, but then he has to get educated and follow the whole process and go to the Guru school, something, whatever, and start all over again. Which is a long process in order to learn mantras to carry out the sacrifices properly. So who can be bothered doing that? So therefore, usually the Chandala doesn't do the yajnas, even if he is a Vaishnava, for that reason. So he doesn't carry out the functions of a Brahma because that requires... Why does he want to do that anyway? he'd rather just do the activities of a Vaishnava.
When we talk about Vaishnava, Vaishnava means he's a guru. Vaishnava means he's equal in the mode of pure goodness, a family goodness. And he's a guru. Although he's not a Diksha guru.
Well, as I said, the devotees are going through a process. Most devotees are going through a process of anarjana vritti. So they're not absolutely pure. In sadhana bhakti, One goes through anartana vritti, so one is not actually pure, even though we call it pure devotional service. So as far as the bhakti actually is pure, but there are impurities in the person's mind, etc., the karma is affecting him. The bhakti is pure.
Yeah. But Vidama Vaishnava, even the pure.
Well, as I said, yes, technically it says the devotee is beyond the gunas, even the sadhaka. But practically speaking, people go through an arkana vritti, which means they still have some impurities there, which have to be dealt with. Yeah, well, that will happen anyway, because if he can't do something, he'll fail. So he'll get no result anyway from that. So he can continue to get no result or do something which by which he gets a result.
And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says sadharma. I just perform your own duty, even though it's imperfect, and your mother's duties perfectly.
Yeah.
How do you understand?
That's for people in the Varnashram system. It doesn't apply to the devotee, because Bhagavad Gita says the Chandala is qualified to do the Brahman's duty.
one is spiritual authority, and yet go beyond the 3 months of the agreement.
Well, there's various degrees. In other words, if we say we're only going to accept the person who has prema and we're not going to listen to anybody else, then you're going to have to wait for a few thousand years. So obviously we can't do that. So it's a matter of degree. We accept as authority someone who has a knowledge and who's fixed in devotion. He may not be beyond completely uninfluenced by the goodness, but nevertheless, we respect that person. Yeah. So everybody's a spiritual authority in one sense, as long as they get the mercy of the Lord. Even if they're when they first begin bhakti, they get some shakti of the Lord, but according to the purity, then they get more shakti.
Yeah, but we're going to do that.